would like to read now from Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. John is seeing various revelations, and he says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." This is called the everlasting gospel that was preached by a celestial angel. A celestial angel is different. The word angel just means a messenger. And you can have men that are messengers or angels in that sense, men or women, that can be a messenger. But this was not just a man who was going around preaching this everlasting gospel, but this was an angel that was flying in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel. Here is the everlasting gospel. Look at verse 7. Here's the message. Here is the everlasting gospel in verse 7. The message that the angel gave to all nations and kindred and tongue and people was, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." The everlasting gospel primarily tells us three things that we are to be doing. The first thing He says is, fear God. Fear God. Second thing is, and give glory to Him. And then the third thing He says is, and worship Him. Those are three things that God tells us to do. And this is a message that I believe that every child of God, that through this celestial angel that God speaks to their heart. There are better than two-thirds of the world that have died and never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people have never heard the good news that Jesus came into this world and saved us from our sins. Many of God's children have never read the Bible and never heard a word that we are able to read that we call the Bible. But they have all heard this message. Fear God and give glory to Him and worship Him. Even when we go to countries where they have never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are people that already fear God and they love God and they give glory to God and they worship God. Now, they may do it in a very limited sense, and they don't have all the understanding that we have once we get the gospel, the entire Word of God, but they have a limited fear of God, an understanding that they are to fear God and give glory to Him and to worship Him. And I pray that God will help us to understand that's something that every one of us needs to be doing, is to fear God and give glory to Him and to worship Him. We studied not too long ago about the importance of us fearing God, and I want us to look this morning at the second statement in this everlasting gospel, which is give glory to Him. Give glory to God. We need to pray that God will help us to give God the glory that's due His great and holy name. Now, when we talk about giving God the glory, it means all kinds of things. One of the things it means is the word glory or glorify means to worship and to praise and to give honor to. So we need to worship God. We need to give praise to God. We need to acknowledge, for example, whenever we have various blessings in our lives, we need to acknowledge that all of those blessings came from God. That's giving glory to God. Whenever you are able to have something, whenever you're able to do something, you need to give the glory to God and not accept the praise yourself. When the angels appeared to the shepherds as they were out in the field watching their flocks by night, when the angel appeared, he gave them a message. And then after the angel gave the shepherds that message, the Word of God says that there was a heavenly host that was praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So those angels again, that heavenly host was admonishing those shepherds and all of us is to give glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Go with me back in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. We have a warning to the people of God that we had better not give glory to someone other than to God. Who do you think that we are most liable to give glory to other than God? Yes. I believe that the biggest problem that we have as children of God as far as giving glory to God, and God warns us all through the Word about this, is that we better be careful that we not take glory unto ourselves. If we exalt ourselves, if we give glory to ourselves, we're going to be abased. But if we give glory to God, God will lift us up and bless us to feel His fellowship. We need to give glory to God and not to ourselves. We need to give glory to God and not to man. Anything that we're ever able to do. Who is it that makes you to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Now, if you've received it, why dost thou glory as if you did it yourself? And so in Jeremiah chapter 10, we hear God telling His people in Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Are there a lot of wise men? Actually, when you study the Word of God, you find that wise men fall into two different kinds of wise men. There are wise men, there are men that are wise because God has given them wisdom from above. But then there are wise men who, in their own natural wisdom and in worldly wisdom, they have that worldly wisdom that's different than wisdom that comes from God. And the wise man often glories in his own wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." We need to ask God for wisdom. But when God gives us wisdom, what is the danger? The danger is that we will give glory to ourselves. And so the Scripture says here in Jeremiah 10:23, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." If you have wisdom, understand it was a gift from God, and you don't have any reason to take glory unto yourself. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the..." Well, let me ask you this. Who was the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus Christ? Who was the wisest man that ever lived? Who was it that ask God for wisdom over riches and honor and glory? The number one thing he requested was for God to give him wisdom and understanding. What was that man's name? Solomon. Solomon was a man of great wisdom, and for a great portion of his life, he was a wise man. But then he became a fool because he began to glory in himself instead of giving glory to God. The Scripture says that God will not give His glory to another. And when we begin to take the glory and glorify ourselves rather than glorifying God, "Let not the wise man glory in himself, but let him glory in the Lord and give thanks to God and glorify God who has given him that wisdom." If you have understanding of the truth, that's no reason for you to glory as if you're smarter than someone else. If you understand any truth in God's Word, it's because God has given you that knowledge of the truth. Whatever you have that makes you feel like you ought to glory in yourself, you need to beg God to forgive you and say, "God, have mercy on me and help me to give glory to you." To God be the glory, not to us. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might." Samson was one of the strongest men that ever lived. And as long as Samson gave glory to God as long as he obeyed God, as long as he followed God, as long as he served God, he was a mighty man. He was a strong man. Samson began to give glory to himself, and he fell and became nothing. And he became a slave because that mighty man did not give glory to God, but he glorified himself. And then the scripture says in Jeremiah 10:23, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Have we ever gloried? Do you think you've ever gloried in your riches? Well, most of us have had something. It might not have been riches. We might not be rich as far as the rest of the world is concerned, but I want you to know, brethren, that every one of us in this building, we are rich. There's not a person in this building that doesn't have more than most people who have ever lived on the face of this earth. You take the poorest people there are in this room, and you have more than most people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. We are rich. We've been blessed abundantly by God. God, the scripture says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything that we have that's good is a gift from God. Now, if God gave it to you, do you have any reason to glory? Do you have a reason, on the other hand, do you have a reason to glorify God because of what we have? We have so much to glorify God for. You know, I was watching as we were singing. I was having difficulty with coughing while we were singing. And I was watching while we were singing, Blessed be the name of the Lord. And one of the dear saints in this congregation, while we were singing that song, I could just see her, she was smiling from ear to ear. And she was saying, Blessed be the name of the Lord. She was singing in the Spirit. She was singing with understanding. She was full of joy. Thank God, Sister Eloise, for the joy that you have in the Lord. And for the radiant smile and the glow that comes from the people of God when they're lifting up their voices and they're giving glory to God. What a marvelous and blessed privilege we have to be able to come together in the house of God as we do, and to lift up our voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to give glory to God, to sing songs of praise. It's a great privilege and a great blessing. Give glory to God. Don't take glory for yourself. Look at Jeremiah 10:24, after he says, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Isn't that wonderful to know something about God? If you have a reason to be happy, if you have a reason to rejoice, it's not because you're wise, it's not because you're rich, it's not because you're strong. The number one reason that you should rejoice is because you know God. What is eternal life? John 17:3, Jesus says, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know God this morning? Do you know God? Do you know what a privilege it is to know God? Do you know that we ought to glorify God, because you would not know God if God had not revealed himself to you? The only reason that you know God is because God has revealed himself to you. Peter, when he answered correctly and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. It's not because you're wise. It's not because you're smart. It's because my Father has revealed it unto you. And everything we know and everything we understand, we need to rejoice and give God glory that God has given us understanding. If you know how to raise your children, I encourage you not to get proud and look down on people that might not know how to raise their children. Have you ever been a proud parent? Let me tell you something, brethren. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You can get proud all you want to, but I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether it's me or you or who it is. When you get full of pride, God's going to bring you down. God'll bring down a whole nation. A proud nation. A nation that doesn't give God the glory. A nation that doesn't want to think about God anymore. A nation that doesn't want to glorify the Son of God. A nation that doesn't want to give glory to God, a nation that forgets that we're supposed to give glory to God, God will turn that nation into hell. All the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. All the nations that forget to give glory to God will be turned into hell. And we're headed for hell in America because we have stopped giving glory to God. I don't think we even give Him enough glory in the church. I'm not primarily concerned about Washington, D.C. or some other place. My number one concern is Billy Mullis. That's my number one concern. I need to do better. We need to stop looking at other people and finding faults in everybody else, and we need to say, God, have mercy on me, because I glory too much in myself, and I don't give You enough glory. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, let your light, listen to this now, let your light so shine. You know, do you think these little children have lights? You think they've got lights? Oh my goodness, brethren, these little children have bright, bright lights. I love to see the little children. I love to see the children happy in the Lord. I love to see children that are giving glory to God. What about these elderly people that are in wheelchairs up here? Do you think they are able to give glory to God? Them even being in the house of God is giving God glory. Them singing songs is giving God glory. Them listening to the Word of God is giving God glory. They desire to be in the house of God because that's what God has taught us to do. But they also desire to be in the house of God to lift up their voices and give God the glory. What is the everlasting gospel that angel preached to every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe? He preached, fear God and give glory to Him and worship Him. We need to fear God and we need to give glory to God and we need to worship Him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As we look round about us and we see people who are diligently serving the Lord and are happy in their service to God, you know what we then do? When someone is out there serving the Lord and letting their light shine, we give glory to God for that person. We thank God for that person. That's giving glory to God because you understand, if you have any wisdom at all, you understand that anybody that's able to help you in any way, it's because God blessed them to be able to help you. To God be the glory. Not to us. To God be the glory. The Scripture says in John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus in that parable of the vine and the branches, He says, without Me, ye can do nothing. But Paul says, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And in John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus makes this statement. He says, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You want to know how to glorify God? The answer is right there. The answer in Matthew 5:16 was, let your light so shine before men. Let them see the glory of God that's in you. You know who it is that's in you? Christ is in you. God is in you. I want you to think about this. This was what I almost preached about. I just want to insert it to you because we may not ever be together again. So I want to tell you this. God is with us. Isn't that wonderful? God is with us. And God is for us. God be for us, what? Who can be against? God is with us, and God is for us, and God is in us. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know why we can defeat the devil? Do you know why we can resist temptation? Do you know why we can worship God? Do you know why we can give glory to God? It's because God is in us. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. I love to see Christ in people. I love to go into nursing homes and see saints of God laying there that can't move and can't do anything. But as I look into their eyes, you know what I see? I see the glory of the Lord. I love to see people that are in the midst of troubles and problems and have major, major trouble. And in the midst of all of that, you know what they continue to do? They continue to give glory to God. That's bearing much fruit. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We need to glorify God. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, just a moment. I want you to remember that it is not the nature of man to glorify God. It is the nature of man to glorify himself. It is not the nature of man. In fact, a child of God does not always give glory to God. And the warning is given here in Romans chapter 1. A very strong warning is given that if we do not give glory to God, if we do not glorify God, if we do not give Him glory after God has revealed Himself to us, there are very severe judgments that come in our lives. We must give glory to God. Look now in your Bibles at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. The Word of God says, "For the wrath of God," this is Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Are these children of God? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Heads are going no. Yes, they are. Because they hold the truth. Y'all want you to remember that. Do you know the only people that have ever known the truth and held the truth are children of God? And he says, "But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In other words, you know the truth, but you walk in an ungodly way. Verse 21 tells us this. Verse 21, Romans 1, 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." Do you think we glorify Him as God? I am amazed every time I see people who have other gods, I'm amazed to see the mass glory that's given to their gods. How many of you have ever seen Muslims by the hundreds on television or wherever? Have you ever seen by the hundreds and the thousands, seen them down on their knees, bowing and praying? And bowing and praying. You know what they're doing? You know what they're doing? They're giving glory to their God, who is no God at all. He is not the one true and living God. He is not the one true and living God. How sad it is when the saints of God, who know the one true and living God, who is far superior to any and all other gods of this world, how sad it is when we fail to give Him the glory that's due His name. We read in Revelation chapter 4 about the throne of God. And we read about, in the book of Revelation, we read about the angels. And we read about the 24 elders taking their crowns and falling down before Him and giving God the glory. Are we giving God the glory? Are we giving God the glory? Everywhere we go, are we giving God the glory? You know what God did to these people that did not, that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God? Neither were thankful. You hear that? Neither were thankful. Do you know that's the reason we don't give glory to God? Is because we're not as thankful as we ought to be? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their thought and their foolish heart was darkened. Can your heart be darkened and you just go out into darkness? Absolutely. And verse 25 says this, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. These people that are mentioned in Romans 1:18 through 25, they are children of God, but they worshiped and served and glorified the creature more than the Creator. My question to me and to all of us is, who are we glorifying the most? Who is it that we're really giving glory to? Is it ourselves? Then we fit into this category of people who worshiped and served the creature. That's what we are. We're creatures. We worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Turn with me in closing to Psalm 95. Please look in your Bibles in Psalm 95 and 96. If you read some of the Psalms, you know what David is doing in most of the Psalms? David is giving glory to God. Look in Psalm 95. We'll close here in Psalm 95 and 96. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. I want you to hear him giving glory to God. Psalm 95, verse 1, he says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Do you believe what he says in verse 3, that God is the great God? Well, then give glory to God. Psalm 96. Look at Psalm 96. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day." Come down to verse 7 now. In Psalm 96 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength." Give unto the Lord glory and strength. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." What do we need to do? What is the everlasting gospel that every child of God that has ever lived or ever will live, what is the everlasting gospel? What's the message they've heard? They have heard, fear God. They have heard, give glory to him. They've heard, worship him. May God help us. We've heard the everlasting gospel, and we've even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have heard the gospel of the kingdom of God. We have heard much more than that. May God help us to give God the glory for all he has shown us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.